welcome back to A Better World. This is your host, Mitchell J. Raven, and we're very glad you're joining us again today. Today we're going to have another very interesting show. We have with us, from Sweden, Dr. Carl Kalman, who is the author of this book, The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness. Carl has been involved in the study of Mayan glyphs and Mayan culture, and especially the Mayan calendar, for over 25 years, having had a background in biology and studying, doing cancer research at the World Health Organization. He went from that and a trip to Mexico that kind of revolutionized him and brought him onto this other path. Now he is an internationally renowned scholar on the subject and is opening up the subject at a time very relevant to us in history. And that will be the subject of today's show because, as you know, we'd like to touch upon and focus on what is relevant to us at this point in history and what we can do to grow ourselves spiritually on this planet. So, Carl, good to have you.
Good to be here.
Excellent. From India now to New York City.
Right.
That's great.
Right.
We did, some of you may have seen an interview I did with Carl on the Venus Transit that we aired just prior to it this past June. And Carl was actually instrumental behind the international movement of arranging the Venus Transit celebrations that occurred in many different cities around, yeah?
Yes.
You were involved in one in Stockholm, is that correct?
Not really, but I initiated that in
yes.
Stockholm, but I saw my role mostly of sort of spreading the word at a very early point to make people aware that this is a chance for a oneness celebration.
Yes.
And humanity facing jointly the cosmos, you might say, or this unification of the Venus and the Sun. And so I brought that out very early, and it spread to many parts of the world.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, thank you
thank
for spreading.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'd like to kind of get right into the Mayan calendar, and why was it that you actually found it originally so interesting, and what is its relevance really for ordinary people?
Yeah, well, I think the first time I heard about it was 25 years ago, and I was in Mexico kind of as a tourist, and I already then heard that their calendar would come to an end in the year 2012.
And it wasn't because they ran out of rock to engrave it on.
No, right. And that's what I heard. But I intuitively sense that they are right. And that whole trip to Mexico, it put me in contact with the Maya, living Maya. And I came away from there with a strong feeling that here is my spiritual home on the planet.
Oh.
And I was very happy, not really knowing what this was about, because it took me another 15 years until I really started to do my independent work on the Mayan calendar. But I just sense they are right.
Actually, but your intuition has led you astray at times as well.
It has, but it's also led me right sometimes.
And this was one of those.
And this was one of those.
Yeah. Well, what did your research uncover? I mean, what did you discover as so resonant with you about the Mayan calendar and apparently the truth you feel it holds?
Well, initially then, I got that sense. And then it took me another, 10 years or something like that, then when I was part of the Harmonic Convergence and I read the Mayan Factor by José Argüelles, and that sort of led it to me to realize that, yeah, there's probably some deeper truth that I had intuitively sensed already at that point. And then it took me another 5 years when I left my work here at the University of Washington in Seattle, which is in 1994, basically. I moved back to Sweden, and at that point I started to do independent work to decode the Mayan calendar.
At University of Seattle, Washington, what were you doing there?
I was a senior researcher at the Department of Environmental Health.
Oh, okay.
And
so it was more your role as a biologist?
Absolutely, yeah. But then when I came back to Sweden, I started to realize that Swedish history itself very well matched the different kind of energies of time that the Mayan calendar describes. Mm. And so that was the inroad, really, to my own independent research. And then once I got the sense, oh, this is fit so extremely well that, you know, there's something here, and then it just became more and more and more, and uncovering more and more, and so it came to include all kinds of knowledge, you might say, and I also found a way where it was actually expanded, so that the Mayan calendar is actually a calendar that describes the evolution all the way from the Big Bang 16 billion years ago.
Really?
Yeah. So that's what makes it different. It's
basically, did you take the kind of the breaks, the ebbs and the flows depicted in the Mayan calendar when there is, let's just say, if you don't mind my mixing metaphors here, a yang period distinct from a yin period.
Yeah.
A time of great activity versus a time of rest.
Right, right.
And you sort of laid that over Swedish history. I mean,
right,
I know certainly
right.
you did it in the
yeah.
book and across yeah. European
yeah.
history
yeah.
and stated that it could be laid across any geographical area
yeah.
and still accurately depict.
Right.
It would correspond.
Yeah.
Is that what you did with
yeah,
Swedish
exactly.
history, that
exactly.
the correlations were that high?
They're kind of extreme. I mean, in Swedish history, there are two times that Sweden has been made its mark on international history,
mm-hmm.
you might say.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is the Vikings then.
Mm-hmm.
And those raids, the Viking raids all over Europe, and they're going all the way to Greenland and the Americas and
yes.
all the way to the Caspian Sea, that began exactly with one of these important backbone shifts, which is like a Yang period, a period of new emerging creativity in the Mayan calendar, you might say. And then the second period when Sweden has made a distinct mark on world history is in the beginning of the 17th century with the 30 Years' War that sort of when the you might say the Catholic power in Europe was defeated, basically. And so I could see then it was exactly at the beginning of two Yang periods. And so that led me into seeing that there is some kind of a thing, like a line here, something maybe that I would later come to realize that this is the world tree that has created these different expansive movements.
So it was based on the precision of the coincidence
yes.
of historical right. events as we have them written
right.
out,
right.
and the Mayan
energies. Time energies,
right.
yeah.
mm-hmm. that convinced you
yes.
of its efficacy.
Yes.
And have you ever seen, I mean, like Terence McKenna, for instance,
yeah.
has this time wave
yeah.
theory
yeah.
and software
yeah.
program.
Yeah.
And he did something similar to what you're describing.
Yeah.
And he took the points at which it appeared to him novelty should occur, as
yeah.
the way he described it.
Yeah.
Some kind of momentous novelty
yeah.
in history.
Yeah.
And in fact, he saw, again, this
yeah.
rather strong correlation, and he
yeah.
kept trying to disprove it
yeah, okay.
and said he wasn't able to.
Yeah.
Because he had questions about his own program.
Okay. Yeah.
But the correlations kept showing. I'm just wondering if there's some kind of inherent occurrence that happens when we try to bring two things into lockstep, so to speak.
If
there's a way that there's a phenomenon that occurs when we, like if there's a filter or some kind of imposition
that would lead us to see things that really
yeah.
are not there.
Well,
or
see a stronger, higher correlation than maybe if we brought in other factors would show up.
Well, I mean,
I'm just asking.
Yeah, right.
It's not that I believe that. It's just
no,
that I'm
right.
wondering.
Right. Now, I look upon it more as if there are certain things in my own destiny, actually, that I was sort of meant to unravel. the Mayan calendar. Mm. And then I was sort of looking for whatever fits, so to speak. And so I'm looking for what fits. I'm not looking for what doesn't fit.
Yes.
If other people want to, that's the role of other people, I think. And so far, I really haven't met anybody who's even come close to disproving all the correlations that I made.
I understand, or that others have made.
No, right.
Okay, so what then is, what would you describe as the direct relevance then? I mean, I can see if there's that kind of matching, that it could then foretell what may be happening. And now that we're looking at an end date some 8 years from now, this becomes particularly relevant and heated, if you will.
Yeah. Well, there are different levels of consciousness. The Maya would, in their cities, temple cities, they would build pyramids in 9 levels. That's very typical of them. And each of those are developed through a sequence of time, energies of time. And with every such step, there is a change in the human consciousness. And we now, we're kind of getting close to the midpoint of a new such level of consciousness evolution. And we're really leaving behind a previous consciousness level of evolution that started about 250 years ago with the Industrial Revolution, with the use of fossil fuels, with America becoming a democracy or a new nation, you might say, and
really a republic, as
a republic, as you
nonetheless,
absolutely, yeah, a republic, which was a big step at the time when the world as such was ruled by
monarchies,
and so there are actually like 3 different levels of rule of government that are associated with levels of consciousness. There was one level that started 5,000 years ago with the first monarchies, with the Egyptian model, you might say. So that was the rule of monarchy. Now, 250 years ago, where an important seeding event was the American Revolution, you got the republic and the idea that, you know, you could vote on whoever rules you, basically. And now we're into something new. And it's time, I think, to really ask deep questions about what is the nature of the upcoming system of government. I think the existing system of government has lost its it's a thing of the past, actually, and we'll see it more and more.
And is the Mayan calendar indicating that?
Yes, it does. Absolutely so. Now we just got into a political thing and. But this is bigger than politics, so to say. It's like broader, you know. It's more to ask the question, what kind of system of economics or politics comes out of a certain frame of consciousness? The whole idea with the Mayan calendar is that it is consciousness that is the ultimate source. The changes in consciousness creates technology, creates politics, creates economics. And so this, now we're in a very high frequency period of change according to the Mayan calendar, up until the ending date in a few years from now. And it changes more, the energies of time are changing quicker than they have ever been before. And it brings a totally new world ahead. And this people, I think, benefit from knowing. Because they don't get it in the media, they will not. It's not a thing that is very easy to come up with just by
imagining.
Imagining it isn't. It really does take a lot of study, empirical study of human history, and making comparisons between these different levels of consciousness that the Maya described, and then, you know, totally new possibilities open up for us as human beings. We begin to see that everything is part of a divine cosmic plan, and that has a good purpose by the year 2012. It's like a purpose of enlightenment, but it's not a smooth path there. I don't think so.
It hasn't been to date.
It hasn't been to date, and And but to understand what is ahead in terms of consciousness changes and what we may surmise about political, economical changes like that.
When you say shifting consciousness as being basically prophesied and forecast,
yeah,
that's going to be happening, what must be rather radically, in the next 8 years.
Yes.
I mean, are we looking at a date
yes.
of December, or you've mentioned also the date of October?
October 28, 2011 is like the end point of divine creation.
And 2011?
Yeah, that's the end point of divine creation, the completion point, you might
say. So then what is December 21st or 23rd, 2012?
It's a traditional archaeological ending point of the Mayan long count.
I see, but in your count of the long count, it's October 28th, 2011.
That's right,
okay.
Yeah.
Not to split hairs, because yeah. that's its own conversation.
Yeah, it is.
What I'm more interested in, the way, and I think yeah. that people are,
yeah.
is we see that currently, up to date, consciousness is dominated by emotions.
Yeah.
Okay, we yeah. see that the rational mind is a very tiny little bit of our ordinary daily consciousness and yeah. how we act and how we create government and how we create economics
yeah.
and
yeah.
create our society.
Yeah.
It's minute.
Yeah.
The entire world of advertising and everything else, operates, sales and marketing and everything, operates on emotion and sex.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
it. And I
right.
throw in some power.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there has to be a rather radical revolution between in the next 8 years
yeah.
for this to become a truly enlightened society.
Right.
So what do you think that new consciousness is really going to look like, and when will it start to show itself, and will it show itself before November 2nd, 2004?
Yeah, well, right.
If you understand what
right,
I mean.
Right. First of all, I think it's probably an illusion to think that everybody will be affected by it.
No.
Yeah, affected.
Isn't it sort of like the wind? I mean, everybody's affected.
You're right. What I'm saying is that it's not everyone will align with themselves with the end results.
Oh, okay.
I would say the majority almost will not. And so it will be like a hard path for those that choose this kind of a light. And you know, both you and I have met Kalki, and I think, you know, he's a person that sort of is bringing part of a very significant part of this transformation of consciousness that I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
And and I should also say that in Sweden, his work has already had a much more bigger impact than it has had here in the US right now,
mm-hmm.
with only like a few pockets working on. In Sweden, it's becoming like a movement of you know, like thousands of people, and it's, so we're seeing some kind of large scale transformation going on, you might say.
Mm.
I think it will come here, but I don't think, you know, there's a lot of people that are more interested in making money from oil stock and stuff like that. So,
well, also, Sweden's this big and the United States is this big, you
yeah.
know, just comparatively speaking, and population as well.
I know.
But still,
all that.
Do you see the population being directly and affected by influencing the nature of society in Sweden?
It will come very shortly.
You see whisperings of it.
It will come very shortly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, in other words, everyone will be affected,
yeah.
and few will respond
certainly,
to the
so.
Shifting of consciousness, which is being forecast by the Mayan calendar.
Yeah.
And is it a result, would you say, of certain different planetary or solar cosmic energies that are kind of in the flux right now in the galaxy, or what? How would you describe
I describe it as actually changing consciousness fields that are cosmic or galactic, you might say. And these fields change like yin yang fields according to a very certain pattern, and it's these changes are not subordinated to any planets or any stars or anything like that. They are actually the sort of the highest expression of the divine influencing human beings, and they have been invisible for a long time, you might say. That now, as we're getting into, when we're getting closer to, they're becoming visible. People can access them, people can understand them. And I'm sure, you know, it looks like society is stagnant or something like that in certain respects, but it could change very, very rapidly, I think.
So, do you have any idea of sort of like what it's going to look like with a person who is aligned to the prophetic nature of the Mayan calendar? And are there things that a person can do? Like, for instance, it has an entirely different count than our Gregorian calendar.
Yeah.
And you told me that you live in accordance with the Mayan spiritual calendar.
Right, right.
How could, I mean, is there a way of, like, naming one's birthday, for instance, within the context of the Mayan calendar, or live one's life from that wisdom, distinct from, let's say, a more mercantile calendar?
Well, absolutely, because this calendar, it describes these field changes in consciousness that I've been talking about. Now, if you are, if you want to align yourself with the ultimate divine purpose of this particular cosmos, then, you know, if you study your own birthday, you get into the flow of these consciousness changes,
patterns.
Then you will align yourself. You will understand what is happening in the world, and you will align yourself, individually speaking, with the cosmic purpose and make your life a part of that project.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us, I'm sure, have, you know, it's different things that we are meant to do.
Sure.
But I think there is an overall purpose that we share, the cosmic purpose. And not everyone is living their lives in accordance with that.
Right.
And so the Mayan calendar definitely gives people the intellectual knowledge that we are actually living in a very exact cosmic time plan, and as an individually based calendar, it gives us a tool to align ourselves if we so want to, if we choose to be a part of this this sort of completion phase, reaching sort of becoming divine, all of us in these few years.
Well, you know, whether somebody aligns themselves consciously with it or not, if they're, let's say, tuned in and paying attention, observing themselves and the world around them, then it could be that they're going to be privy to the shifts in consciousness on the planet anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, Carl, I have so many questions to ask you.
Yeah.
One is, we have other ancient indigenous calendars that are spiritual in nature. The Jewish calendar.
Yeah.
The Chinese calendar.
Yeah.
I imagine the Vedic calendar.
Yeah.
The Greeks had a calendar.
Yeah.
Probably a good deal more.
Yeah.
But of just those kind of very fundamental ones for our planet, how do they differ in this respect of forecasting kind of spiritual holidays, spiritual occurrences?
Yeah.
Less than the Mayan?
Well, I mean, that would be, that's a big discussion. Each one of them would have to be discussed separately, so to speak.
But do you see them having some characteristics of the Mayan, or is it entirely distinct and separate?
I would say that it's entirely distinct and separate. I think that there are a couple of things that makes the Mayan calendar unique among the calendars of the world. And the most important distinction here is that the Mayan calendar, unlike, say, the Jewish or Muslim calendars, which are moon-based, basically, the Mayan calendar is not based on cyclical astronomical movements. And that's also the key to understanding that it's not about physics. It's not about the physical reality changing.
Okay.
It is about our consciousness changing. And so there is something that makes it
very
different.
Interesting. So how would you say it's, on what is it based then?
It is based on a field changes of consciousness on that we have, that the Maya were sensitive to, and that human beings today are increasingly becoming sensitive to. That's the reason people are taking an interest in the Mayan calendar
Definitely.
In the first place. And so that's what it is. And these fields are of another nature. It's not the gravitational things that the planets are involved
with. I understand. So, if, you know, it's just that the Kali Yuga is supposed to last, I mean, according to one estimate, you know, another 300,000 to 400,000 years. So
yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Right. I mean, the Indians have always had, you know, kind of a long view things,
right,
you know,
which
I've always appreciated, you know, the Vedic understandings.
Yeah.
And so it's just interesting that here we have something that's much more appealing to me in a way, that in 8 years we'll have the fulfillment of the divine, of the creation plan, the, the divine plan for creation, like in our lifetimes.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, this is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Do you have any sense of, like, what that will look like? Because, again, it seems like it's going to be so radically different from our fossil fuel-based, greed-based, self-based society that at moments look like it's getting worse than better, you know?
Yeah.
It seems like it's in a major squeeze play for consciousness to shift as it needs to be in alignment with the principles of sustainability and harmony.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm all for it.
You know? Right, right, yeah. I would say so, too.
So, this is why your teaching is so important, because you're helping to up the ante quickly, you know, prepare people.
Right.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time, but could you look at this and just tell me, I've had this for years, and, could you describe its meaning, symbolism?
No, I would not be able to do that. I mean, it's a Mayan head, it's a serpent, and going into the serpent, and well, if I were to try, you know, there's this whole thing of serpent being the plumed serpent, the feathered serpent, which is like a flying serpent, which is a serpent that it exists on the planet. It's a serpent related to the world tree, but also then each one of us has like a world tree in our head, like where there is a serpent aligned to a serpent power that's related to Kundalini.
Exactly. I always thought of this as Mayan Kundalini.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So it's along that same line.
Yeah. Same line. I'm not saying that's an expert basis.
Associated. Well, Carl, I hate to say that we've run out of time. You know, 8 years short.
right.
No, I really appreciate the work you're doing, and I just hope that it gets spread around the world to many corners, so many can benefit from it.
Thank you. So, thank you so much.
Absolutely. My pleasure. This is Mitchell J. Raven for A Better World. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did, and I look forward to seeing you all next week.